Chris Hatfield is an astronaut from Canada. He has spent 6 months in a ship orbiting this planet. Twice during his expedition, he was allowed to put on his spacesuit and actually leave the ship. He has written 2 books in an effort to try to put his experience into words, but he says that words are completely inadequate to describe what it was that he saw. Here are some of the words that he uses to describe his experience. Floating out there in space with nothing between him and planet Earth, he said that he looked out over the great light, immense light of our planet. And it occurred to him that on this immense and beautiful globe that was gently turning, there were people everywhere being born and dying, fighting and living in harmony. People of all different colors and races and creatures. And the best word he could use to describe this immense majesty was soaring glory. Soaring glory. And then he turned away from the light to see this abyss of darkness just yawning out into space for all eternity. And Hatfield writes that in that moment, he was truly awake, witnessing something that was so much greater than he could even comprehend, and so beautiful that it broke his heart open. That thing that he describes as soaring glory. Today is the first Sunday of the Christian year. We call this season Advent, and the word means coming. And in this season, we focus on how Jesus tells us that he will come again. And that in order to be prepared for this coming, we have to be awake. Jesus says in the scripture that no one knows when he will come again, not even Christ himself, not the angels, none of us, only God the Father knows when Christ will come among us again. But what I find so fascinating is that it is not so much what you believe or what creeds you could recite, or what doctrines you've absorbed that will help you when Christ comes. Jesus doesn't talk about faith in that way. Instead, he links our salvation directly with our state of awareness. In other words, when Christ comes again, will you be awake? Will you recognize him? St. Paul writes, now is the time, now is the moment for you to awaken from sleep. Now is the moment for you to awaken from sleep. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I get up every morning, don't you? I put my feet on the ground and I'm awake all day unless I take a nap. But Paul was not talking about physical sleep. He was not talking about being physically awake. He was talking about becoming spiritually awake. You see, you and I don't realize it, but we really spend the majority of our lives partly asleep. In our minds, there is a battle that goes on between the light and the darkness, and the darkness would have you get so busy that you become numb to your life and you rush through one thing after another. And all of a sudden, years have passed, and you say to yourself, where did the years go? We live in what C.S. Lewis called the Shadowlands. And the shadows would have your mind consumed by worries, by politics, by what's next on your calendar, by how you look, by your money, by your success, whatever. But our minds are prone to mind-numbing repetition that puts us to sleep. And the danger is that you and I will become so absorbed in our own little worlds, in our own little minds, that we will not be awake to see the coming of Christ. So Jesus says that we have got to figure out how to step out of our little spaceships and witness the glory of God. We have got to figure out how to have moments at least where we breathe and be truly present and see the work of God in the world. One author calls these kairos moments. You know, I've described to you, I think, before how in the New Testament there were two words for time. Chronos time, chronological time, would be your calendar, and how one thing after happens after another. But kairos time is the very moment in which God intersects with our present reality. Kairos time is I am time. You see, God's name is not I was or I will be. God is present only in the exact moment in which you are awake. And a kairos moment is when you are able to witness and see God in the world. When I was a little girl, I had to take a lot of ballet lessons. My mother taught ballet, my aunts taught ballet, my grandmother taught ballet. So I thought that, you know, like you learn to walk, you had to learn how to do ballet. I didn't know it was an option as a little girl. But the problem was, I was terrible at it. I was shorter, pretty squat and thick. I had a terrible turnout and a terrible point. All of these things are important in ballet. You have to have a good turnout and a good point. And my mother wanted me to take ballet with the best, so she made me take lessons with a Russian ballet teacher who was very, very strict. There were only like three people in her class. I don't think people enjoyed her very much. But she was always telling me that I was too fat and that my turnout was bad and that my point was bad. So I'd force my legs out and my feet out further and then my knees would hurt. And I did this for years until high school when I finally woke up a little and said, I quit. I stayed away from ballet ever since, but a couple of years ago, I discovered yoga. I love yoga. There are no mirrors in the room at all. And it's supposed to be a very loving and kind environment, but what I find that is so interesting is when I do yoga, I can hear the Russian ballet teacher in my mind. And she's telling me that I'm too fat and that I don't have a good turnout and I don't have a good point, even though you don't really need to point your toes in yoga. But she's in my head making me feel inadequate and self-absorbed and worried, and it's something that I have to fight when I take yoga. Well, a couple of days ago, I went to a new class in a different part of town, and it was really hot and really hard. And there were people that were doing things that I can't even begin to describe. I put my mat in the back of the class because I didn't want anyone seeing how terrible I was at this. And I was sweating and feeling generally quite inadequate. And the ballet teacher started walking around. Oh no, I thought. Here she comes. She's going to correct me and tell me that I'm doing it all wrong and that I'm too fat. And then it looks bad. This is why I went to the back of the room. Now everyone's going to turn around and look at me. Don't you love how your worries are so self-absorbed that you think that everyone is looking at you or thinking about you? So the yoga teacher walks towards me. Freudian slip, ballet teacher. She comes up to me and I think, here we go. She puts her hands on my hips, I assume to try to correct my posture. She leans into me and she says one word. Beautiful. In that moment, all of my worries, they seem to just wash away. And I looked around the room and I saw all these different people, different sizes and shapes, and I thought to myself, they're all beautiful. And then I started to cry, which got me self-conscious again, and then I started worrying again. But I had a Kairos moment. Do you see what I'm talking about? Those moments when you're pulled out of yourself, out of your own stupid, repetitive thinking, and you step out of your little ship and your little reality into something greater, and you're able to see things, even if it's just for a moment, from God's eyes. And you're able to witness the soaring glory of what is around you. It is not a coincidence that Advent begins at the busiest time of the year. It is not a coincidence that as everyone starts frantically shopping like crazy, and as you're invited to 5,000 parties, that God is also saying, slow down. Keep awake. I want you to see what I'm doing in this world. So I invite you to try during this season to allow yourself to have a few Kairos moments. And maybe to expand them a little bit. Find a time when you can witness what God is doing in this world. Find a time when you can set aside all those worries and all that busyness and all the things that you're concerned about and just open your eyes. Life is so precious. And all we really have is this very moment. Wake up, Jesus says. See me. Amen.